Thanks. I'd like to give a presentation today about some new developments in our lab in the development of new RAF inhibitors. You probably all know the story about RAF, but it was discovered a number of years ago by Ulf Rapp. It's a serine threonine kinase, three different forms. And of course, you're all very familiar with the fact that this is part of a conserved signaling module, the canonical MAP kinase pathway. Drugs that target this kinase, the ATP mimetics, are either approved or in development and show promise as anti-cancer agents such as sorafenib or the Plexicon reagent, that are the drug that's very effective in melanoma, the V600D melanoma. However, most notably, and this is something I'd like to key in on today, is that RAF can have cellular targets other than MEK and ERK, and therefore can exercise kinase-independent functions. And I'd like to show you some of our new studies that focus on that. So as many of you know, the canonical pathway of the RAS pathway leads to proliferation, gene expression. It's been shown by many others. We, over the past several years, have worked in this area, and I think I've lost my pointer. And we had noticed that when RAF gets phosphorylated on serine 338, and this can be done on a couple different enzymes, PAC1 is one of those, and this can be in response to growth factor stimulation, integrin ligation, why the RAF would go to the mitochondria where it neutralized the proapoptotic kinase ASK1 and promote cell survival. And what I'm going to talk to you today is about some other functions of RAF that we're quite excited about that I think are equally important and or perhaps even more significant. There was a study about 2 years ago that caught our attention, and that was that when this phosphoserine epitope was found in breast cancer patients, and it was highly expressed, the patient's survival was very poor. In contrast, when they had no low levels of the nuclear RAF serine 338, why there was a good survival. And the p-value here is, of course, quite significant. And we just showed, showing here some tissues from our lab. This is a tumor, and I'll show you some more of this, that we can clearly detect in paraffin-embedded sections this epitope. So the question we had was, could phosphorylation of the RAF serine 338 actually promote tumor growth? Was it somehow involved in the tumor progression, as this clinical study might suggest? So what I know of, Melga did in the laboratory was to, and we've done this with a number of different lines, taken a breast cancer line in this case, and either expressed a wild-type RAF or the phosphomimetic serine 338, a single-point mutation that substitutes a negative charge here, and then injected this into mice. And what we noticed was that the serine 338 phosphomimetic in this position, so looking like the serine 338 phosphorylation, actually drove tumor growth up quite substantially. And what was striking to us was that there was no change in the phospho-MEK or phospho-ERK activity. So this seemed to be a growth of tumor that was induced by the a negative charge placed in this, a phosphomimetic, yet no particular increase in phospho-MEK. So it looks like what's going on here is this RAF, which is driving tumor growth, is doing it perhaps in a manner that's independent of the activation of the canonical MAP kinase pathway. We then extended this into brain cancer, and Lex Franovic carried these studies forward using a U87 glioblastoma expressing either wild type or, once again, this phosphomimetic mutant. She put these into the orthotopic site into the brain, and what we saw was approximately 11-fold increase in tumor growth rate. In fact, these animals came down with tumors so quickly, it was within 2 weeks, and the entire brain was overwhelmed with tumor. Once again, a single-point mutation, phosphomimetic at serine 338, that's able to drive malignant growth. So our findings then suggest that the phosphorylation status of CRAF on serine 338 may be a critical determinant in the growth and survival of tumors. So the questions that we had is there a way to pharmacologically block the phosphorylation of serine 338? And what then might be the impact of such a blockade on tumor growth? So as you all appreciate, RAF's an important, been in the news lately and have been some high-profile papers. It's an important target in oncology. ATP competitive inhibitors are either approved or being developed. However, there's a problem with some of these inhibitors. While inhibitors that target BRAF the oncogenic form of BRAF, are very effective, as we heard earlier, in melanomas in patients with the oncogenic BRAF driving mutations, where there's a decrease in tumor growth and a clinical response. In patients with wild-type RAF, there's a very different concern. And in fact, what has been noted was that serine 338 phosphorylation levels have actually increased. This has been associated with increased proliferation. So that while hitting those subpopulations of the V600E with a BRAF selective compound is quite effective in simply those patients that have the BRAF mutant, when you go after the far majority of patients that either have their cancer driven by RAS or overexpression of growth factor receptors or other oncogenes where there's a wild-type RAF, the patients are not doing so well. In fact, they're doing even more poorly than without the drug. So RAF ATP mimetics were shown in a number of papers to drive B and C RAF dimerization, serine 338 phosphorylation increase, and tumor cell proliferation. This was shown both in vitro and in vivo in animal studies. So we reasoned that perhaps locking RAF in the inactive state might interfere with serine 338 phosphorylation since this site is in the activation segment of RAF. We asked then, can we design an allosteric inhibitor that stabilizes the inactive conformation of RAF and thereby avoid the ATP binding pocket and the problem seen with ATP mimetics? And this just shows you kinases where the activation loop is in this DFG out motif where the kinase is inactive and is effectively not capable of binding ATP because of the allosteric interference. So Eric Murphy in the group is now a junior faculty member here in the Cancer Center, set out with the goal of developing a RAF inhibitor capable of preventing RAF serine 338 phosphorylation while avoiding the ATP binding pocket. The approach that was taken then was to use a scaffold-based chemistry where the analogs, these scaffolds, were designed as general type 2 inhibitors capable of locking kinases in general in the active state. We screened in cell-based models for phosphomec. We looked at the embryonic zebrafish intersegmental vessels because we reasoned that we knew that RAF was very important in vascular growth and development, and then validated hits biochemically and by phosphoimmunoblotting. The first hit that I'll talk to you today is a KG5, which was recently published on. This was done in collaboration with my colleagues both at Targagen and Kinogen. Such inhibitors, then, should avoid the problems seen with ATP mimetics, and therefore represent potentially a useful therapeutic for cancer and other indications. So this is sort of a schematic showing how we envision this docking to occur. There's the KG5 molecule. It's orally active, favorable PK, and the safety profile so far. The other targets are rather limited. We see c-KIT, PDGFR, and FLT, and this is relative to sorafenib, which is a very broad ATP mimetic that hits up to 20-plus compounds or 20-plus targets. And I think the key to this particular binding is the fact that if you see a drug like imatinib, which is here in a co-crystal with c-KIT, you can see it overlays into the ATP binding pocket here. Here's the hydrophobic pocket. And the way this drug, the KG5 molecule, was designed was to overlap more into the hydrophobic region, avoiding the ATP binding pocket. And this effectively is more or less the way the drug was designed. And you can see that here Gleevec and KG5 look similar, but you can see that Gleevec reaches far into the ATP binding pocket while KG5 is really removed somewhat from that region and occupies the hydrophobic region. So going through this, we published some data on anti-tumor activity. I won't go through that other than to say it was effective as an oral drug in a number of different cancers in mice. And getting back to this idea then that phosphoserine 338, which biochemically we have been able to show was in cell-based studies, that the KG5 treatment could inhibit the phosphorylation of serine 338. This is that marker I was referring to earlier. And 3 days after a single dose of the drug, when we remove tumors, even before they begin to respond to the drug, we see a complete loss of the serine 338 epitope. And you can see that here biochemically when we examine the tissues from these same mice. So initially we had this first drug, and as we all appreciate the fact that The first drugs are not always the best for one reason or another. Eric designed a number of additional compounds, second-generation compounds, where we tried to focus the library around improved potency. And you can see we actually developed some that were a good two logs improved in activity over KG5. And then a third round, more recently evaluated, that had more drug-like properties. And we have some now that are equal to, if not better than, our best second-generation compounds, but that now have a much more drug-ability feature to them. And this is just it's a busy slide, but just to show you that we're in some cases in the single-digit nanomolar cell-based activity. And it's important to point out that we're hitting either oncogenic KRAS or even the V600 RAF. So we're hitting either oncogenic RAF or RAS in this case. And some of these are very potent inhibitors that have at least reasonable drug-like properties. These are being scaled up now. We hope within the next few weeks we'll have enough material to go forward with additional studies. So what is the molecular basis for the anti-tumor activity seen with this allosteric inhibitor? Well, I know Melga in the laboratory had noticed under the microscope that the cells treated with KG5 overnight actually didn't look dead. They looked like they began to round up off the dish. And so we were quite intrigued with this. In fact, she indicated to me that these cells looked like they were undergoing mitotic arrest. And I said, well, how could that be? It just didn't make sense at the time. And then over time, if you actually monitor the cells over time, initially they undergo a G2M arrest that appeared, and then eventually they underwent an apoptotic event. And in fact, she looked at this in a FACS profile looking at the cell cycle. And you can see, in fact, that KG5 does drive cells into G2M. And this was not unlike what happens with paclitaxel, which is a mitotic or a microtubule stabilizer. If we look at ATP competitive inhibitors of RAF, why we see a very different profile. You can see this with a MEK inhibitor. If anything, sorafenib produces a sub-G0 peak, which is an indication of death. But it's clearly distinct from the KG1 molecule, which has the same target set except RAF. So it has the same c-KIT, FLT, and PDGFR activity as the KG5 molecule, simply lacking the RAF activity. And clearly that's not having the effect. So it looks like the effect of the drug, at least in part, initially was seen to be associated with the G2M arrest. So what Ainoa did was to immediately look at wild-type MEFs, mouse embryo fibroblasts, and we got a hold of CRAF null MEFs from CRAF null mice, and noticed that indeed, if we look at the null animals here in red, the percentage of cells in G2M at any given point in the cell cycle was about double, and this is an indication that, in fact, the cells are having trouble getting through G2. And so we looked at a series of mutants, and going in, then expressing a control vector, you see no change. If we now come in with the serine to aspartic acid, that same mutant that I showed you increased tumor growth in animals up to tenfold, we see that completely rescues the G2M arrest. So it brings it right down to baseline. If we even go in with the aspartic acid mutant, but now use a kinase dead form, so a dual mutant, this is the serine to aspartic acid phosphomimetic, but in this case, the mutation that we've also added is kinase dead. So this RAF is non-functional from a kinase perspective. This also rescues. If we use a serine to alanine mutation, clearly we have the same problem. So what this suggests to us then is that indeed this aspartic acid seems to play a pivotal role in the ability of RAF to drive mitotic progression, and it's independent of the ability of RAF to phosphorylate its substrate. So phosphorylation then of serine 338 seems to promote mitosis. Genetic or pharmacological inhibition of CRAF phosphorylation would then arrest cells in prometaphytes. And I didn't show you the data for this because I really don't have much time. The question we really had was, how does serine 338 RAF regulate mitosis? Clearly it's playing a role. Is it localized to the mitotic apparatus? And I wouldn't have asked the question if I didn't have the data to show you. And here is the data that I'll show you. When what we noticed was that, indeed, in mitotic cells, the phosphorylated form of CRAF ended up in the mitotic spindle here. You can see this in green. This is the XPA1 pancreatic cancer cell line, or in this case, U251 glioblastomas. And you can see that this is very interesting because we also could detect this in breast cancer biopsies here. You can see the mitotic spindle and high power lighting up with a phospho-specific epitope, serine-338. So this was very, very important to us because it suggests that the mitotic arrest induced by this drug seemed to be associated with the ability of the target, in this case serine-338 phospho, RAF to accumulate in the mitotic spindle. Now, what about the effect of KG5? Does KG5 interfere with this localization? Well, the answer is yes. And here is phospho-serine-338 CRAF in the mitotic spindle, completely gone in KG5 treatment, whereas sorafenib has no effect. And you can see three other RAF inhibitors do not interfere with the ability of CRAF to get in the mitotic spindle. So this is restricted to the ability of KG5 to interfere with the serine phosphorylation of RAF. And here, even paclitaxel, which is a microtubule stabilizer and arrests cells in G2M, clearly works in a different way than KG5 because you see that CRAF is still there in the presence of the drug. So while both paclitaxel and KG5 appear to arrest cells at prometaphase, they seem to do this by distinct mechanisms. So I'm going to skip on and just tell you what we've learned since this original data was generated, was that indeed the phosphorylated form of CRAF is able to bind to and activate the mitotic kinase polo-like kinase 1, and which is, of course, a driver of mitotic progression. And just to summarize some of the highlights of this data, and this is part of the project that I know is involved in, that CRAF, but not BRAF, interestingly, interacts with PLK1 and co-localizes with PLK1 at the mitotic spindle. Phosphoserine-338 RAF promotes PLK1 activity and accumulation at the kinetochores in prometaphase and thereby promotes mitotic progression. So what it turns out that happens is allosteric inhibitors, like those that I mentioned, or KG5 in particular, inhibits these events and arrests cells at the prometaphase. And interestingly, it prevents PLK going from the spindle to the kinetochore, so you can't get by prometaphase in the presence of this drug. And in fact, the phosphomimetic form of RAF that I referred to earlier, serine-338 to aspartic acid, promotes PLK activity, and this, of course, induces tumor growth in mice. So what I'm showing you then is a model where we now show for the first time that CRAF can go to the mitotic spindle, where it can interact with and lead to the activation of phospho-PLK1, driving very efficiently mitosis, and ultimately proliferation. If we come in with allosteric inhibition, we prevent this interaction, prevent the phosphorylation of serine-338, and thereby suppress mitosis by arresting cells in prometaphase. So it does look like, while the common pathway, the canonical pathway of RAF to MEK to ERK, is certainly linked to gene expression, we're not sure that in the tumor cells we've looked at thus far, and there have been quite a few of them, that the RAF, the activity of RAF is linked to the ability to drive MEK and ERK with respect to the proliferation response. So just to then finalize what I was telling you earlier is that we've identified then a kinase-independent role for RAF that's associated with two features of this serine-338 phosphorylation. One that's involved in promoting cell survival by inactivating a pro-apoptotic kinase called ASK1 at the mitochondria, and a second new activity involved in cell cycle progression, which is associated with the ability of this form of RAF to associate and activate PLK1 at the mitotic spindle, leading to cell cycle progression. Finally, I'd like to thank my colleagues, Eric Murphy and Ainoa Melgo in the laboratory, who've really been pushing this both from the chemistry side and the biological side, working very closely together, and it's been very, very productive. A number of members of my laboratory who have played various roles in this project. I'd like to thank Barbara Parker, who's been involved in discussions and helping us from, you know, understanding the clinical side, Michael Schmidt in Judy Varner's lab. And finally, I'd like to thank the NCI Kinogen and also the Ratner family for supporting this work. Thank you very much.